Well, good afternoon. This thing is being streamed also, right?
Yes.
Okay. I surely have a burden for this meeting, and so this meeting may be a longer one. I hope I will wear you out. My flight is not until 7 o'clock, so I... San Jose Airport, so I have time. we haven't met like this for a while. I'm talking about the so-called Working Saints sessions like this. You know, my coming to the Bay Area or the Northern California actually started with the what we used to call young adults. And I cannot forget the very first meeting was at Angel's Camp. I've been there since that first time, another one or two times. But that was actually the first invitation to me before anything else took place. And so it's a bit of a full circle for me whenever I come back to meet with this group of saints, and that is you. Over the last few years, we tried to seize the opportunity so that whenever I come up here once a month, we would try to have a meeting like that. I think especially last year, I don't know whether before last year, but for sure last year. And this year, because of different things, we had somewhat discontinued that. Well, part of it is because we started to have these perfecting trainings for all the saints and not just the elders and responsible ones. So we thought that those meetings would sort of take the place of this. However, about a week or two ago, a group of brothers met, and in that meeting, or in that day-long meeting, the Lord came in to our fellowship in a very, very, I would say, very clear way to give us a kind of direction of the next step, or one of the next main steps of the Lord the Lord's move in Northern California, and I'm going to talk about that later on. That burden or that direction causes us to think about the working saints very much again. And so the feeling was so strong that the brothers asked if I can just make a special trip. This week, you know, we're right before the summer training, it's just around the corner. And, you know, I semi-joke with the FTTA people. I said, you're not the only people who have tests in the training. You know, this is the final week, or rather last week was the final week, finals week. This coming week is the service week. I said, I'm on the test all the time. All seven feasts are my test, simply because I have to speak. And to give every single message, I can just tell you it takes a lot of time to study. And the material alone that is provided to us sometimes is that thick, double-sided. I couldn't even finish reading them in time, much less to study thoroughly. And yet I have to give a message based on all of that material. So so this coming training, I am assigned 3 messages, Jim, not 2, as is customary, because some of the brothers, you know, cannot be there. And so I'm under the gun. I feel a lot of pressure. But the brothers still feel there's a need for a special meeting, so I acquiesced. But actually, I'm burdened. And so I came last night to this area and had a morning meeting with the North Bay churches, but principally to have this meeting this afternoon. So here I am, and here you are. This afternoon, I like to take a step back again. And before we talk about the direction and those kind of things, I like to take a step back and almost all the way back to how this whole burden for the working saints, or what we used to call young adults, began. Because we really do not have a tradition in the churches to have such meetings that is categorized by age. We never did that. And however, it's over 10 years ago now, because of the obvious rise of a new generation of saints. And initially, actually, the burden was quite specific for those who have been to the FTTA. But then it expanded. These so-called young adults, to render them some fellowship and some encouragement and some perfecting, we decided to have such young adults meetings, especially during some of the feasts, like the semi-annual trainings in particular. But over time, the co-workers felt that in the semi-annual trainings, this sort of meeting, which grew, by the way, to be quite large. I think in one of the biggest meetings in Ball Road, we were well over 1,000 saints there. It was becoming a bit unwieldy and also a bit distracting to the training itself. So we suspended those meetings as of some years ago now, maybe 4 or 5 years now. And in its place, we kept always 2 of us. This kind of fellowship with this group of saints in the 2 other feasts, namely the Memorial Day time and also the Thanksgiving time, which are typically held in the United States. And so as far as the brothers who are engaged, or co-workers who are engaged or involved with this group of saints, it's also whittled down over time. And I think now among all the co-workers, I must be the one who am the most involved still with this group. Of course, this is not just Northern California. I'm talking about North America. And the reason is plain, and that is the burden has never left me. And if anything, that burden has grown. And the second reason, and that is because I've been up here, and we have kept those meetings up here probably more than anywhere else in the country or anywhere else. You'll be hard to find that churches or clusters of churches or areas that keep up a kind of regular fellowship with the working saints Northern California is special. And that is also because of the fact that this Northern California is a very unique employment center, high tech here and all of that, that attracted a lot of saints of this category to come here because the jobs are here. And so all that combined has kept me very much alive within in this burden. Now, I'd like to come back to talk to you first about time. About time. And in particular about your years, you know, human years, right? We have something called dog years, and I have a dog, and you know, depending on their size, they live longer, they live less, anywhere from 10 years to 20 years, something like that. Dog years, they're much more compressed. 1 year dog years is like 7 years, human years, some such thing. So I never like to be a dog, obviously. You just get to live 20 years and that's it. But don't think that human years, because it's seven times, it's that much longer. Fact of the matter is that is still extremely finite, the human years. And then the third thing I would like to talk to you, obviously, is what is in the Word concerning the redemption of time. The redemption of time, as well as the wisdom in the numbering of our own years, our human years. All this, of course, is to lead us to find, to identify God's will. And that, I submit, would be the thing. That is the will of God. That should govern. That should control how we consider time and how we spend our years and how time and years can be redeemed. Firstly, about, you know, the human years and time. You know, two things in our life, in the human life, that are valuable. One is obviously wealth, money, material riches. They're valuable. And that's why people go make them and keep them and invest them and do all kinds of things to make it grow, right? The other thing that is valuable in human life is time. Is time. And so people fight for time, people try to squeeze as much as they can possibly into a certain time period in terms of making a success in whatever form of endeavors you may be involved in. But because that is finite. Both things are finite. But I'd like to say a little, compare the two a little bit. That is money and time. Now both are necessary and both are valuable. But money or material or wealth you spend it, right? You spend it. Let's say you have some money, you spend it. And of course, the more you spend, the less you have, right? But with money or material, if you have the energy, if you have the brains, if you have the put your heart to it, you can make it back. Am I right? So people lose money and then they make some more money, right? There's a way. That's with money. That's with money. Having said that, I would say that we should call into question the true value of money or of wealth, which, as long as we're alive, has its value. You know, for our livelihood, for all kinds of things. But it is clear that it's not something you can take with you when you die. Now, right now, or in these months, a lot of people are popping the champagne and various other kinds of things because they own a lot of Amazon stock. Just going through the roof. It is now surpassed Walmart as the most valuable company on paper on the planet. On the planet. As far as a piece of private enterprise is concerned. And, you know, holders of these stocks, I mean, just overnight become a billionaire just for doing nothing, just because of the market. And so a lot of rich people, a lot of people, Silicon Valley, and Amazon is just the poster child right now, but you're talking about Google, you're talking about Facebook, you're talking about Apple, you're talking about a lot of other such tech companies. And not to mention those that are in China, right? You know, Mr. Ma, Mr. Jack Ma I think he wants to overtake Jeff Bezos. at least to become Jeff Bezos of China, of the Far East or something. Still remember one time in a hotel place, I saw him. It's a little guy like this. Mr. Jack Ma. But brothers and sisters, no matter how much you have, right? You're one of these people. And they say that if this projection continues, Amazon may be the first trillion-dollar company. So that pretty soon you have drones delivering your food, or they just bought Whole Foods, you know, and but you can't take that with you. You can't take that with you. You can have all the zeros behind a number in your bank account. You can't take that with you. No matter what you possess, no matter what you own physically, you can't take that with you. When you die, that's it. So it's not far from eternal and far from permanent. It's exceedingly, exceedingly temporal. I'm not talking about here the evil of owning wealth. That's not my point this afternoon. My point is here is as the apostle in Timothy concerning the temporal nature and the undependability of wealth, of money. That's why he was charging. If you want to study wealth through the apostles' teaching, you've got to read 1 Timothy chapter 6, right? That's Paul's, and other chapters, but that chapter is his speaking directly to saints of means. So he charged them not to trust in that. He didn't say don't have it. He said don't trust in it. Because it's not trustworthy. And so he rather told them to do good, to be hospitable, to distribute, to share. Sometimes I actually talk about, I have a lot of burden within me for all kinds of weird things, and this is one of them. Sometimes I actually like to have a conference just with brothers who are in business, who are have money, who have wealth, just to study the Word of God so that we have a clear, unadulterated vision of what that is and how that fits into God's will and God's economy. But the point is that if you lose some money, you can make it back, or you can do something to gain it back. Now, time, the other valuable item, is different. And that is, you can never get it back. You can never get it back. So, for example, to illustrate, one's time, which is something that we all own, because of birth, because of the life that is we're created with, of X years, or X days, or X minutes, or X seconds. It's a finite commodity in our personal experience. And so, if you look at it like a bank account, you know, I have $100 of time in my time account. Every dollar I spend, that's it. I have one less dollar in that time account that I can never make it back. Never. No human being can ever make back the time that they have spent or used. So old people like me hate birthdays. You know, when you're a little kid, oh, you can't wait for your next birthday because you're getting old, you're a little older and you can do old people things, you know. So you wish you can have many birthdays in a year or something like that. Old people, don't even remind me. Okay, don't even remind me this is my birthday. Because as my age increases, my life decreases. Am I correct? Something is increasing, for sure. It's called my age. But at the same time, the year is the time that defines my age is decreasing. So every dollar I spend of that $100 is gone. So, you know, some of you sitting there, you got, I'm just using 100, like 100 years, let's say. They say, you know, by my grandchildren's time, people will normally live over 100 years old because of medicine and all of that. True or not, but let's just use 100 years as a kind of round number. And I won't tell you how old I am. I think some other places you can guess. But I have spent X dollars of the $100 that I have in my time account, and that's it. I have only a few dollars left. Now, you may be the opposite of me. You have, you're very young, you know. So you have still a lot of dollars ahead of you. But I would like to tell you, you're going to get to my spot sooner or later. All right? And once you spend it, that's it. You cannot make it back. You don't make money. You don't make time like you make money. It's gone. It's gone. And somehow, for people in my age, and when I was young, it took forever to be the next day, you know. Now, I don't know where the days went. Before I know it, it's another year. Before I know it, it's another 5 years. The time is just time. It's the same ticking along. But my experience relative to time, relative to my age, is different. It's going really fast. The older you get, the faster the time goes. And so the point is obvious here. Time being like this, this finite thing, precious and valuable thing, perhaps the most valuable thing in human life is time, will never come back. And so, Moses would say in Psalms, teach us how to number our days, amen, that I may have wisdom. Amen. Wisdom. The word is wisdom. Paul, the New Testament Moses, by all counts, said something similar. He said, look carefully how you walk, means how you live. not as unwise, but as wise. See, wisdom plays a big part in our experience of time. Wisdom. Then he continued to say, redeem the time because the days are evil. Now, brothers and sisters, my burden for you, the working saints, especially the young working saints, is really that simple. And that is how you spend your time, this finite commodity, this finite gift is free, right? Just life is a gift. You never bought your life, you just have it. So the time of your life is a gift. How you spend this valuable gift. I want you to not just give this a passing kind of attention and not just even to be a bit convicted this afternoon because of what I'm talking about here. I, like you, like I did, as young as you are, in fact, it shouldn't be later, to take some time and be alone and think about this. Think about this. And that is how you should spend your time. How you should spend your years. Not just in this case as a human being, even though a proper human being should do the same, but especially as children of God and people, believers, who are not their own, who are purchased with a great price. That is the Lord's blood. Who actually do not belong to themselves, but to the one who bought them. And that is the Lord. I want you to think about this. I want you to take time to ruminate, to reflect, to consider. And I would say probably there's not another subject more important than this as far as your life is concerned. How do you plan to spend your life? How do you plan to use your time for this remaining whatever you have left? Because once you spend it, let me say this again, it's not coming back. You can be Mr. Bezos and you cannot buy back a second of the time that you spent. Money cannot buy time. It may buy a few Botox treatment to make you to reverse your age a little bit, but it cannot buy back time at all. Now maybe I am the philosophical kind, I am sort of an old soul or something, you know. But when I was young, I began to think about these things. And I still remember at the age of 16, you know, maybe too early to think about stuff like this, but I remember. I had a band. I played drums. And after one of our gigs, we were, you know, on our going home. 16. What do you think about? I still remember I was, you know, I live in Hong Kong, and there's an island and there's the peninsula, and there's a ferry that connects the two. And I live on one side, and I have to go home on the other side, so I would take a ferry, typical. Been on it hundreds of times. And this time, I don't know what happened. I was just by myself, just staring at the waves. And the deepest sense of vanity took over me. Vanity. I mean, 16-year-old feeling vain, you know. This shouldn't happen, you know. But that happened to me. I felt so vain, so meaningless, so purposeless. And I had been saved already. I was saved already, you know, in junior high. But by that time, obviously, I was not really doing the Lord's will or in the church life or anything like that. I was just doing my thing. And that gnawing sensation within me, I could not get rid of. You know, sometimes you think of people who commit suicide, you know what I mean? Because of despair, because of hopelessness, because of whatever it may be. You say, how can that happen? Well, when you're in that kind of a condition, you just feel nothing is worth anything. Even this life that I have, what does it mean? What is it for? What am I doing here? What am I doing here? And I'm going to still spend X years or whatever to live like this. And maybe because of those kind of experiences, of course, now looking back, it's very, very clear that that was God's way of visiting me at that time, which I'm thankful for. But my point is, sooner or later, you have to take stock about what is the purpose of your existence? Now, even for us in the recovery, in the church life, you know, we know all the things, all the truth, this and that. You still have to take stock before God and be honest to yourself. Just what are you here for? What are you here for? That's the question. And so, over time, this matter is always looming in front of me. And when the Lord came and revived me, and then later on and brought me back to himself, and later on when the Lord really introduced me to his heart's desire, his purpose, his will, Christ and the church, you know, his recovery, all these things, I cannot help but to deal with those things from this lens, from this point of view. And so early on, I made the decision that I got one life to live. That's clear. And that life is finite in years. And when it's gone, it's gone. Those are facts. Then, to me, it is highly logical and intelligent, reasonable, to draw a conclusion. And that is, I better spend it on something really worthwhile. Better something that I can take with me. Something that has eternal value. That's it. A lot of, actually, people today, they've been through the startup, they make the bucks, they become extremely disillusioned. And that sense of vanity also invaded them. And some just went ahead and chuck it all. You read these stories in magazines and books to go find the truth, you know, to go find the purpose of their life or to do good or to whatever it may be. But my brothers and sisters, I'm speaking to you as not just human beings, I'm speaking to you not even just as Christian believers, I'm speaking to you as saints in something called the Lord's recovery, who have a measure of vision and knowledge about what God wants in this universe. That is his pleasure, his desire, his purpose. I'm speaking to this group of people. The Lord covers me. I was with a brother. Last time we were kind of in the same place, doing the same thing, was in Taiwan in the 80s. Those few glorious years in Taipei, you know, in the mid 80s. And just like that, it's 30 plus years ago. We were young. I was your age. And so I like to challenge you to think this way. I don't want to just stir you up to do something, because that wouldn't really last. I want you to really, really think about this. The word says, Moses say, teach me to number my days. That means some instructions are necessary. some help is needed. I made my choice. That is, nothing is worth giving to. But what is really, really in the heart of God? That is God's heartbeat. And what makes him tick should be exactly what makes me tick. And what motivates him, him being God, to still, after thousands of years, still plodding on, should be the same thing that motivates me. And that whatever time, minutes, days, years I spend on that, by faith, will never be a waste. That anything that is not that has a great potential to be a waste. So the woman who broke the alabaster box had that settled in her. I'm sure she went through that exercise and decided that everything she owned should be poured out on Christ. And that would be worth it. And sure enough, after she did that, the Lord appraised her not only for doing that, but doing that before his burial. That means it's not even just a case of spending it on the Lord or pouring out for the Lord, but do that in a timely way. Because the record shows that after the Lord died, truly no one could anoint the Lord, his body. Even on the resurrection morning, they brought spices, but the Lord was gone. This woman did it before the Lord's death and burial. And so the Lord says her story must be told wherever this gospel is preached. So may I introduce the other important element, and that is when you consider not only, Lord, how should I spend my life, how should I live my life, you should also ask yourself, when? You should do that. Now? 5 years from now? 30 years from now? Or, in some cases, at your deathbed? I made a lot of mistakes in my life, just like we all do. But I thank the Lord this afternoon, and I testify to all of you that in this one thing, I did not make a mistake. And that is the decision to give myself to serve the Lord, to live for the Lord. Absolutely. You say there is a price to be paid. In fact, Brother Don Looper, is that right? Famously said, you know, this brother from Texas, he said, what? Count the costs, something like that. Pay the price and have no regret or something like that. I think some such thing. Well, I would say that I agree with him. But in the end, that cost, that costly alabaster box, that cost is nothing compared to what you gain in eternal value. And that price that supposedly you pay pales, absolutely pales, in comparison to what you earn. Now, when I talk about what you earn, I mean earn in three stages. Number one, in this age. Number two, in the next age, called the kingdom age. And finally, in the New Jerusalem age, that is the eternal age of eternity. I'm talking about earning in those three ages. Lately, you know, I've been writing hymns and songs and so on. Lately, and I wrote one hymn called The Morning Star, you know, about the morning star. That song actually is all about the Lord's coming, or has the Lord's coming as a context, immediate context, the morning star. I tell you, if you study the word, you'll find that that morning star is a reward. It's a secret reward. Only to the overcomers. And not for the general Christian body. Now, if you chalk that up as fairy tale, then there's nothing to talk about. But if you believe in the Word of God, brothers and sisters, that's real. What it means is that one day the Lord will come back to this earth in an open way. Every eyes will see him. He will be a flash of lightning from the east to the west. All eyes will see him. He will come in as the king. No denying. But before that, in his parousia, which means presence, he had come already. He had already returned. But only to be enjoyed by those who overcome in this age. By my talking in this way, brothers and sisters, you can tell the kind of burden that I have within me for you all as the quote-unquote next gen or the next generation in the Lord's recovery. That as times are getting darker, surely these days since the election and with this new president, it has stirred up a lot of conversation concerning this age that we're in. We grew up in the 60s. You look back, there's almost not another decade that can compare with this except the 60s. But I say, I can make a point that today it's worse than the 60s. Actually, it all started then. I mean the craziness that we're living in today. And so what this means is that predictably that would happen as this age draws to a close, as the Lord's return is that much more imminent. And so really, today, our sense of the limitation of time, available time, quote-quote, before his burial, for us to invest, you know, for us to break the box, for us to pay the price, that window is closing. Trust me, it is closing. I actually, as one of the burdens within me, have a real burden. We have not spoken enough about the Lord's return for some time now. Not just world situation, and you know what I mean, in kind of a bit of an analytical way in that way, but prophecies that will motivate us to make different decisions, to change the way we live, the way we value things, the way we prioritize things, that will have material effect on daily decisions concerning where we live, concerning our job, concerning all kinds of things. It had that impact in those years. It's like Amy Barber, you know, Sister Barber. She lived in that reality, that the Lord is just around the corner. And she expected, fully expected to see the Lord face to face. She didn't. But she lived in that anticipation. She was an overcomer. The Lord's recovery started in China, in great part because of her. In her help to Watchman Nee. Now, I have to draw this part of a fellowship to a close. The same song where Moses talked about teach us to number our years, he talked about actually years. He said, if a man is 70, he's doing pretty good, actually very good. And if you live to 80, like Moses did when he started to minister, he said, that is what? Huh? If a man is strong, that means it's very unusual. So there is a time. There is a time limit there. And I like him talking about 70 and 80 because I'm interested in these kind of numbers, you know, about age and all this kind of stuff. And so I thought about in numbers, the lower end number is age 20. That's anyone among the male, among the children of Israel. At 20 years old, you go fight. You're in the army. And there would be no upper limit. 20 to wherever. Well, according to Moses, that upper limit seemed to be 80. Seemed to be 80. And how old was Caleb when he came and claimed his allotment from Joshua? 80 plus, right? Somewhere around there. Right. So let's say 20 to 80 is for how many years? 60 years, correct? Yeah, 60 years. And somewhat, just only for this afternoon, that 20 to 80 years, 60 years, can somewhat be kind of cut in half, I think. That means 20 to 50 and 50 to 80, each 30 years. Each 30 years. When we talk about working saints, I think typically we talk about the first group. Am I right? Yeah. Now I know retirement age is still 65 or whatever, so we're not going to be legal about it. But I'm talking about an age where you still have that kind of energy, that kind of clarity, you know, that. It's about that. It's about that. And in the case of Numbers, the apprenticeship years of the Levites is 25 to 30. And the official service is from 30 to 50. It is around that age. And so brothers and sisters, what I'm trying to say is that today, our tabernacle life, which is what these Levites and priests live for, that's what their ministry was all about, their service was all about. It's all about this tabernacle, which is God's testimony, which is God's house. Those who should be engaged directly in its protection, in its service, in all these things, in its ministry, are 20 and all the way to 50. It's just like that. And those who are 50 and above, apparently did not have the direct involvement in the maintenance of the tabernacle. It doesn't mean they're useless, but they don't have that direct, you know, shouldering of that burden of the Lord's testimony, both from the side of warfare, the fight, this is a fight, and from the side of the tending to the tabernacle itself. So many things in the tabernacle, so many things need taken care of. All right. Today, brothers and sisters, this tabernacle is our church life. Even at that time, with that physical little tent, tabernacle, they need many, many priests, many Levites, many serving ones, just to take care of that. Today, in the reality, in the church life, tabernacle and testimony, goodness, the need of the maintenance of this testimony, the need for the fighting, for the protection of this testimony is huge, is enormous. In other words, we need many people to adequately take care of this testimony of God. It's not a few people who can handle it. It must be thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands who take care of this testimony. And so, in the church life today, with all the services, all the work, all the ministry that is related to this church life, we need that age group, that first age group, 20 to 50, let's say, to bear, to shoulder the weight. And if they are absent, or if they are not there, I will tell you, God's testimony is still God's testimony. But it won't be strong. It won't be full. It won't be so safe. It won't be so prevailing. And so, the greatest need today is for the working saints' age of brothers and sisters to serve . That's the only hope, the only hope that the Lord's recovery has. Now, to come back to time, I would just say this in a very simple way, and that is this is the top way to redeem our time. And to redeem the time doesn't mean you crank out or you produce time, because time is, when it's gone, it's gone. So it doesn't mean redeem like you buy it back. No, it doesn't mean that. To redeem the time means you seize the moment. You seize the opportunity before time flies away, before the time is lost, before it's gone forever. You seize the moment and you invest that commodity, that time. For God's will. Amen. And that is the church life. Now, we're here in Northern California. And yes, the Lord is moving everywhere. The Lord is the Lord of the recovery, His whole recovery. And Northern California is a part of that recovery of the Lord. But I would like to share with you an honest feeling within me. And that is, the Lord's move is often specific and particular at a certain time and in a certain place and under certain circumstances. This time, his burden to do something in Northern California to renew the situation, to revive the churches, to strengthen the Lord's testimony, to grow and increase it, that is the Lord's testimony. All this, by way of three things. Number one, to build up a model of a group of people that are really living an overcoming life. A God-man life, what we call. And number two, a group of people, or saints, or churches, that possess the reality of this ultimate visions that we are all that have been given to us. And lastly, to carry out or practice a church life that is God ordained. Meaning everyone is bearing fruit. Are feeding or shepherding others, and teaching and perfecting others, and finally, speaking for the Lord. And even this morning in the meeting in San Francisco, as I speak about something, I have a lot more feeling. Let me give you one example. This whole matter of the hymns and songs and psalms, you know, in Ephesians 5 and Colossians 3, is mainly for speaking and not singing. Did you hear what I said? It's still not yet recovered. that Brother Lee spoke about it long time ago. It bothered me. How do you do that? What does that mean? And so I just hope that the Lord will give us opportunity to explore this matter so that in the churches in Northern California, we can come into another level of church practice. In our meeting life, where we speak and prophesy. Our speaking actually is our prophesy. If you speak Christ, you're prophesying. And how to use these hymns and songs to do that. I am just actually right now very, very invigorated and excited about the possibilities. I don't think we have seen it yet. So much that is in store for us. That are all part of the Lord's testimony. Part of his recovery. How would all this be worked out? All this is part of the need today. And so, to work this out in Northern California, to me, is going to be a great, great thing. A great, great thing. I was with Brother Lee, and I know how he felt. That is, in those twilight years of his, he was so burdened about these few things. He was laboring, but he could only do so much because by then he was in his late 80s and early 90s. He had no way except to just pass it on. And he charged the younger people like me and others to work it out. Have to work it out. Have to build up that model. Have to bring in that revival. But we just weren't able to do it. We just couldn't do it. The situation, the timing, only God knows, but we couldn't. Now it's 20-some years later. And I just have this kind of sense within me. And I don't think I'm superstitious or, you know, delusional. I hope I'm not. I don't think so. That the time is come. The time is now. While the older saints, some of the older saints are still here, who have seen the first temple, and with a upcoming generation that are rising up, the environment, all the revelation and truth that has been passed on to us, the vision of the age, I just feel if we don't do it now, I don't know when we will do it. But in this, I must say, the working saints is key. In other words, you are key. But I don't want just here to tell you that, and you nod your head and say, thank you, you know. I got it, you know. Because that doesn't work. I'm trying to do my best to pass on this burden so that it can become your burden. So you have to consider your ears, your time. I'm not talking about all of you getting rid of your jobs and go full time and be a missionary. I'm not talking about that. We need to live. We need to be practical. We need to be responsible. But let me tell you, dear saints, when there's a heart, there's a way. Nothing will stop you if you have that heart. Amen. So, I would like to mention two things practically. With that consecration, with that prioritization of your life, I really mean that. With that decision you make about how to spend your years, you know, I have brothers who do business, and many told me, is I'm going to do business now, and the day will come when I made a lot of money, and then either I will give it to the church, or, he said, I don't need to work anymore, then I'll serve the Lord. That's very, very touching. But let me tell you, that does not always work out. And after a while, I sort of don't trust that anymore. I couldn't put my faith in that anymore. I rather would say, brother, that's a wonderful thought. May the Lord bless you, right? But I said, brother, I rather that you will serve now. Amen. While you are doing what you need to do. You don't need to do the way the world does, 80-hour week. You don't need to go for this or that, because you don't know. In 10 years, 20 years, you got the money, but your heart has been corrupted. You were planning for that time, but some health issues has already hit. And so all that promise, all that, you know, didn't materialize. If ever I love you, Lord Jesus, 'tis now. The Lord wants it now. He doesn't want it tomorrow or 10 years from now. He wants your energy now. He wants your hands and feet and lips and eyes. He wants them now. Because now is the only thing that counts. Yesterday, it's over. Tomorrow is not yet here. Now it's real. So redeem the time. That's what it means. That means seize the now. Seize this time. While you are alive, while you are healthy, while you're energetic, while love the Lord now. Serve the Lord now. Give yourself to the Lord now. Step up now. The rest, we believe in the Lord and trust in Him. We will always regret not doing this earlier. We will never regret So, there were moments in my life, after in the church life, where opportunities were presented. And I have to make a decision. And by His mercy, I chose this. And I will tell you to this day, mistakes a lot, but as far as this decision, I have no regret. In fact, if there is any regret I didn't do more. I didn't give more. I didn't serve more. I didn't pursue more. I didn't study more. That's my regret. We need to revisit the Nazarite vow. All of us. Which, amongst other things, shows that God's need is so great that He just opened the side door, opened the back door for unqualified people to serve, because the need is so great. Now, the two things are, number one, that you would all rise up in the church life. No more waiting. No more the old brothers, they're still here. You know, we can take a vacation. They're the old faithfuls. So even if I'm not around, they'll shoulder it. No, none of that. None of that. You will assume the stewardship of this household. You will assume to be the host of this family, of the church, your local church. And everything about it, from A to Z, the services, the needs, the this and that, so many things, the meetings, all manners of things related to the church life, you are shouldering it. As many of us did for decades. And it's not always exciting. And there were times of turmoil. There were dark days. But you just shoulder the burden to fight that war and to protect the testimony and to minister to the Lord in the tabernacle. The matter of the gospel, the matter of feeding the new ones, caring and shepherding them, the matter of perfecting people in the homes, the matter of bringing them and helping them to serve and to be in the church life, the matter of your ministering and speaking in the church. To supply Christ saints, that's your job. That's your job. In Northern California, that's your job. I don't know where to look. I'm looking at the people. Now, you say, how about the older ones, the senior ones? I think they're doing a good job. And you need to give them a little break. They deserve it. Now, we are on the matter of calling on the Lord, right? I tell you, this is one area that not only you should get into that exercise and get the benefit, you need to have a burden that your church will become a calling church.
Amen.
It's not just about your own enjoyment. It's about your serving this. You're helping others into this.
Amen.
You're building this up in the home meetings.
Amen.
It's about this. It's not somebody else's business, the elder's business, the what's business. It's your business. Now, I think because of time, I'm tiring you out, I know that, but I'd like to tell you that the fellowship this week ago, one of the things, a very important thing the Lord has granted some leading in, is that we need to take the land.
Amen.
And gain the people.
Amen.
You know? You know what is the land? You say, I know, Germany. I agree with you. But to me, the land is Northern Cal.
Amen.
This is our Germany. You don't need to go to Germany. I'm not saying don't go to Germany, all right? If the Lord leads you, go, all right? We got over 100 saints signed up for an immigration training.
Amen.
3 weeks right after the summer training.
Amen.
100 saints. Thank the Lord for that.
Amen.
So don't take me wrong. But most of us probably won't be going to Germany. Then what are you going to do? What are you doing here in Northern California? I tell you, you know what is your commission? I'm going to tell you your commission. Your commission, brothers and sisters, those of you here and whoever is in the live stream, you are the ones who have to take the land of Northern California.
Amen.
You. You have to spread this high gospel. You have to propagate this ministry. You have to disseminate the truth, the Bibles, the books, all these things to this whole land from Fresno to what? Crescent City? That's your land. That's your land, starting with your local church, your Jerusalem. You agree with me? That's your commission? And your commission is to disciple the nations, the various ethnicities, all kinds of people in this land. Sinners, truth seekers. Derek. You know Derek? Let me introduce you, Derek. Who is in the church in San Francisco now. This guy has just been around here for 6 months. And I said, what happened? He said, I just seek the truth and the Lord led me to the church in San Francisco. I said, those kind of things do happen. You know? It happened every day in Eldon Hall. And I thought that era is over. I said, it's still happening. And so he just walked in, right, literally. And 6 months later, he is now in the church in San Francisco. And even recently, he went to Germany for a visit. You have not been to Germany, right? He has. This guy has. And he said the Lord has led him, burdened him, to attend this coming summer training.
Amen.
Right?
Amen. That's right.
Okay, thank you. Now, if there's one Derek, there's another 100 of them.
Amen.
Trust me. Trust me. And he's been here his whole life, right? You're a local boy, right? Okay. And we have the Googles, we have the schools, campuses, we have, I tell you, you turn left and right, you just don't know which Derek is hiding. You know, in this mass of humanity, there's a Derek here. There's a Derek there. There's a Derek there. These are the marked out ones by God.
Amen.
They have a seeking heart within them.
Amen.
They have a homing device, you know. They even found the hole or something like that. You didn't use a GPS, right? You just kind of found the meeting hall. Someone introduced you. I don't know what happened. But anyway, and in this place, we have such diversity of people. I mean, we don't need to go to anywhere. They all have come here.
Amen.
You'll find a guy from Kentucky in Google, right? You find people from all the nations here. They're all around us. They're here as students. They're here as H-1 visa holders. They're here. And brothers and sisters, with what we have been given, what we have inherited, my goodness, I mean, we should just be here living our life doing nothing else but to minister this Christ, this gospel,
Amen.
This revelation,
Amen.
This truth to as many people as possible. So we're not going to steal the thunder of Germany. This coming Itero time, many will go there for 1 week to, they have, I don't know how many Bibles, they're going to cover, blanket, all as many college campuses as possible in all of Germany, the best. But I have news for you. After Itero, there will be another major event. You know where that event will take place? I don't mean San Jose, I mean in Northern California. So, the first week of November, I think from October 30th, all the way to November the 5th. Actually, Jim, the other day I was thinking, we need 2 weeks. Because all the GTCAs are 2 weeks. All right, okay. Decision made. We'll have 2 weeks of an event. I don't want to call it a campaign, but a special event of by mobilizing all of you and your compatriots, your peers, easily with 2,000-3,000 active saints in the Bay Area, I mean the Northern California, there should be your group, if we go up to 50, at least half of the active saints are working saints. And I will tell you, those who are beyond those years, they are very burdened. You don't need to worry about them. But I'm talking about age 20 to age 50, going back to that age. I like to see a grand mobilization as we have never seen in Northern California.
Amen.
2 weeks. And you say, what is going to happen? It's going to be 2 weeks of a super GTCA.
Amen.
That includes your city, your town, everywhere there's a local church and their surrounding areas. And I'm talking about campuses, I'm talking about tech conferences, I'm talking about Walmarts, I'm talking about driving a truck to go from town to town, I mean a van, I'm talking about the campuses, I'm talking about 1,000 saints, 2,000 saints, rise up. The older saints, you know what they're going to be doing because they are a little infirmed, a little old. They are going to pray.
Amen.
They're going to be kneeling down in the meeting halls and in their homes to pray.
Amen.
And the rest of us, we will be out there. And I'm going to challenge you to what? To take time off.
Amen.
To negotiate with your boss. To what do you call it? Without pay, what do you call it?
Leave without pay.
Leave without pay. Because it's worth it. And take 2 days off, and take a week off, take whatever. And we're going to go out. And spread the news. Get the Bibles out. Talk to people. Speak to people. In our own places, in unfamiliar territories. How about that?
Amen.
And we're going to hit not only the English speaking, we're going to hit the Spanish speaking, we're going to hit the Indians, you know, whatever they speak, you know. We're going to do it like we own this place.
Amen.
Which our boss does.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
The earth is the Lord's.
Amen.
And we are going to tell the world, we're done with hiding. We're done with a bunker existence. We're done thinking we're a cult. We're done believing that people are not open. We're done with any of those myths. We're going to believe the reality,
Amen.
The fact. And the fact is, The world needs Jesus.
Amen.
The fact is, the people need the truth.
Amen.
Like Derek. The fact of the matter is, Americans are open.
Amen.
The fact is, even Northern California, even San Francisco,
Amen.
Has its share of seekers.
Amen.
Don't you believe so?
Amen.
Absolutely. Because San Francisco is a new town anymore. The old San Franciscans are dying off. It's taken over, am I right? By people from all over the world. That's why the real estate prices are so high. And we're going to demonstrate that yes, we're normal people. We do a job. We raise a family. But at the same time, we're a different kind
Amen.
Of humans.
Amen.
We're divinely human.
Amen.
We have a commission. We have a job to do. And we show them practically. That's how we spend our time.
Amen.
That's how we spend our time.
Amen.
Our time is for God.
Amen.
Our time is for the Lord's interest.
Amen.
Our time is for the Lord's testimony.
Amen.
That's how we live.
Amen.
Ready for this? And you're not going to look to these oldies to make the arrangement and do this. You're going to do it. You are going to do it. You're going to find ways. You're going to pray. Between, I would say, after the summer training, between then and the end of October, that is about what, 3 months? August, September, October, 3 months. 3.5 months. We're going to devote 100 days.
Amen.
100 days of prayer
Amen.
Before those 2 weeks.
Amen.
And we're all going to pray.
Amen.
We're going to kneel down.
Amen.
We're going to pray for an outpour spirit.
Amen.
We're going to pray for the experience of the economical spirit.
Amen.
The blowing of the wind.
Amen.
We're going to pray for a shaking. I don't mean an earthquake, but a shaking. The Lord will shake these slaves, these people who are under bondage of so many things
Amen.
In their lives, free.
Amen.
We're going to declare Jubilee.
Amen.
You say, you're really now stirring us up. I am. And I said, it's about time.
Amen.
I hope we can blow away all the indifferences. I want to blow away all the skepticisms. I want to blow away all the lukewarmness in the church life. I like to see a whole new generation of brothers and sisters who are burning, living, absolute, happy, liberated.
Amen.
Having a glorious existence.
Amen.
Taking care of God and His heart's desire.
Amen.
That's what I want to see.
Amen.
And brothers and sisters, this will bring the greatest blessing
Amen.
To our lives.
Amen.
All these years following the Lord, I'll tell you, The Lord took care of everything. And the Lord blessed. I can't speak for someone who had $1 billion in their bank account. I think their lives is full of anxiety. When they have you have $1,000, you're not that anxious. When you have $1 billion, you're very anxious. You know, you go to Wall Street today, these traders and stuff, you know, they all make $1 million. They're all unhappy people. Because the guy who make $1 million wants to make $2 million. Do you see what I mean? It's endless. You know, it's that song, gospel song. This great world cannot fill this small heart. That song is what? But Christ is so rich. Christ is so full. He can fulfill all of our need. He is so good. He is so sweet. All your desire, He exceeds. How about we just tell it to so many Googleians. Apple people, let's tell them, this is the meaning of your life. Amen. And I tell you, this generation, just as any old generation, still have that eternity within them. Amen. They're asking the same age-old question today as the beginning of mankind. And that is, what is this all about? What is the meaning of my life? We're going to print hundreds of thousands of tracts because they're cheaper. You know, they're not Bibles. Cheaper. And we're going to just... How about this?
Amen.
I told people when we started Bibles for America, I like to rent a plane. You know, these airplanes or a helicopter better. And I'm going to have these sacks of tracks. And I'm going to get up at a certain height. And I'm going to just throw those things out. You know, of course, if it's all $1 bills, I'm going to really, you know, this will really be sensational. But you know, each track is worth not $1. It takes a few cents to print one. But that message is a $1 million message.
Amen.
And when you pick it up and you pray that prayer, amen, I'll tell you, that's more than a $1 million message.
Amen.
You just got a gift of eternity.
Amen.
Now, don't you think that gives your life meaning? Some of you may get so infected and addicted to such glorious life of serving the Lord. Maybe some of you will quit your job and serve full time. You say, really? Really? That happened to a lot of people. I end with this verse because of time. And that is verse 17 in Ephesians 5. Therefore, this is after he said, redeem the time, the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish as opposed to wise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, so this whole afternoon, we're talking about the will of the Lord versus everything else. We are people who understand that will, and we are the people who do that will.
Amen.
The key is to redeem the time. Now, may I end with this, and that is, there's a way for us to work this out and live this out today. What is it? That is to call on the name of the Lord.
Amen.
That is to breathe him in.
Amen.
I tell you, we will be pneumatized.
Amen.
Like a tire, you know. Put that hose in here. And you'll soon be floating. We need the divine oxygen. Oh, call on the Lord. And this morning I told the North Bay churches something more than calling on Jesus. I'm teaching them to go the next step, and that is to call on the Father. You didn't hear that. You should get the tapes. To call the Father. And that is another dimension of calling. And I have no time to talk about it. Dear saints, call.
Amen.
I wrote down, just this is just a little fun for me, you know. I like to play with words, you know. So I wrote down something just as a kind of a problem that people face today. Use from A to Z one word for each alphabet, and it's found that there's tons of words for almost every alphabet to describe the problem people face. A is anxiety, right? Big one, right? B, bondage. C, what? Well, I'll just use this. You have plenty of words. I use this word, complaint. Isn't this age? I mean, everywhere I turn is people complaining. When you have everything, they still complain. D, despair. And there's a lot of... E, what? Huh? Emptiness, exactly. F, fear. Fear is gripping people like never before. They do the survey. People today are gripped with a sense of insecurity like never before. G.
Greed.
Well, I have something worse. Gloom. Sadness. Sadness. Unhappiness. Isn't that character? H. Hatred. I've never seen so much hate. So much hate today. You can do the rest, okay? I challenge some of you from A to Z. This is what every human being is doing. That's the human condition. Brothers, we have a way out.
Amen.
We have a way to be saved from these things.
Amen.
Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will... shall be saved from these things. I mean, we are a happy people, or we should be, but it depends whether you call or not.
Amen.
Oh, call on the Lord.
Amen.
Get filled with the Spirit.
Amen.
I tell you, the result is joy.
Yes.
The result is peace. The result is love.
Amen.
The result is self-control.
Amen.
The result is freedom. Oh, what a life. What glorious existence. Amen? That's my burden. For the working saints in Northern California. Now, when do we end this meeting? 6 o'clock? No, I have to go to the airport. So, I mean, you can stay here, whatever you want to do. Well, I would say right now, share. Some response you have, just go ahead and share. This afternoon, we talked to a few of these people who work in Google. Brothers, right? Are you here? I don't know where they are. Oh, you're one and some. I know a lot of people work in Google. I mean, saints, huh?
Yeah.
Who work in Google. And there's a lot of people who work in Google, meaning just people. And I also feel that besides the campuses, you know, college campuses, we have another kind of campus, and that is the campus of these huge companies where you have thousands of people there. It's all day long. And so it's time to make inroads into those campuses. And I hope that the saints who are working, you will consider your workplace a fishing pond, your field of labor, your farm to grow something for the Lord. And so I hope that we will not no longer just go to a job and then kind of just come home. We would really, really even use our work time as an opportunity to spread the good news, the truth. And so I really think that this should become a kind of a project, if you will. And that means brothers and sisters who are working in these places really take it on like a campus would, to pray, to have a way, to arrange things so that they can really labor and gain the increase of people from those workplaces. I think they're not just Google, am I right? There may be three over here, five over there, or whatever. I think this is the kind of place, and now is that kind of a time. You agree with me?
Yeah.
In other words, brothers and sisters, the days of playing defense is over. The Lord's recovery is not in defense, although we have defense and confirmation. But the rest of us are in the offense, right? So I just want to add this word. And secondly, it's just not those 2 weeks. After those 2 weeks, we will be inundated with names, contacts, open ones, at your job, at this city, at that place. I tell you, we have our work cut out for us. And that's when we will kick into the real what? The real God-ordained way of visiting people, of having home meetings that are meaningful because they care for new people, small groups. And I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, this is the life that we're made to live. In this little outline, it's a long one, and it's from the book chapter, I'm not going to go through this, but chapter 6 of the book, Messages to the Working Saints. I always recommend 2 messages out of the 8 in that book. That is number 6 and number 8. And I was going to have you put number 8 in the back. You didn't. We didn't do that. But I'd like us to look at what? Look, you have to go back and study these things. Very, very helpful. Even a lot of the points I cover are here. But the Roman numeral 1 is in about God's need in the economy today concerning the young and middle-aged saints. That is the 20 to 50. So please study that. And then look at 1C. It's the Lord's achievement in grace. That means the Lord's achievement in all of our lives because of his grace. You look at, just recall what the Lord's grace has accomplished in your life until now. 2, in the past there are many men and few opportunities, whereas now there are many opportunities and few men. Surely today the need is much greater than the human resources that we have. So it's time for us to rise up. In the Church of Jesus, there's a place for you.
Amen.
There is a real place for all of us to serve, even with unlimited opportunities.
Amen.
And then number 3, Roman 3, meeting the Lord's present need. I spoke about these things before. This is all from our brother Lee. We need to these days recall our past experiences and vision, respond to the Lord's attraction and calling again, renew our former commitment and consecration, setting aside our time specifically and budget our daily life for the church life, and by fulfilling all the needs in the new way, which is what we talk about here, you can see. And then finally, number four, I'd like us all to read it together.
A glorious living and a glorious soul.
Go. A.
Living to live Christ.
B.
Goal to build up the body of Christ.
C.
Result to receive the reward in the kingdom.
Now I'd like you, when you go to the Lord, to ponder these three things.
Amen.
Number one, your living. What is your living all about today? Number two, what is your goal, the purpose of your life? And number three, think about the result. Our living today, dear saints, is just to live Christ,
Amen.
To express Him. And our goal today is simply to build up His body,
Amen.
For His satisfaction. And number three, the result. The result. Listen, this is not to go to the New Jerusalem. The result here is to receive a certain reward in the coming kingdom.
Amen.
Don't forget about that. This is something very, very real. Okay?
Amen.
I think it's 5:30 now. We can stop here, right? Any announcements? No announcements. We can go.
Amen.